Pop quiz, hotshot. Who do you think is the most powerful group of people in the United States? Time's up. It's old people. You want to know why? Because old people are the only folks who vote in all these boring elections that happen between presidential contests. Do you know what old people want to change? Nothing. Do you know what scares old people? Everything new or different. Now, I love old people. They're always there with the hard candy and whatnot. But when it comes to issues of social and political import, I'll bet you and grandma see things a little bit differently. Because people our age don't vote, old people get to choose state and municipal lawmakers. These are the offices that end up deciding crucially important things, such as who gets access to healthcare and who gets to vote in the next big election. Boring elections are incredibly fast and easy to vote in because no one's there. And because turnout is so low, your vote will have a huge impact. You'll be doing what's best for everybody by going to vote411.org and finding out when the next boring election is and where you can vote. That's vote411.org. Tell them Xerxes sent you.
Some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge, a lane maintained with a course aimed at colleges. To HG101, we give the honor, thanks to Kirk, a lot of Xerxes to host it proper, as well as Satanga, Cal and Bobinator, Ogre Hart and others discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and look, they wrote a book about it, go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease. and add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
Dog's power. Hey, dog's power. Hey, dog's power. Hey, dog's power.
Stop whining. Just jump in the tub.
Our next game tonight is Metal Saga. It was a game nominated by @BenRoar, published at least in the United States by Atlas USA, developed by Successor, and released on the PS2 on June 9th, 2005 in Japan. I am Bobnator, and who do we have with me tonight?
I'm the Great Clade.
I'm Word on the Wind.
So, I believe this game is the first time the Metal Max series ever came to the U.S.
That would be correct.
Oh, yeah, it's not the last, though, is it?
Pretty neat series, something I might find at some time.
Yeah, the bullet points on the Metal series are they are a post-apocalyptic JRPG series with an emphasis on the utilization of tanks to do your combat. You can, you know, like early game and like as an option, you can go on foot, but you are basically expected to be using tanks the entire time. Like, you have a party of people and each person can operate one tank one-to-one, which, you know, isn't how tanks actually work, but, you know, that would be an entirely different game. And broadly speaking, you know, the approach to these games is kind of a little tongue-in-cheek, but also a little serious at the same time when you, like, kind of stop and think about them. They're mostly notable for having the fun little function of the main character always being asked at the very beginning of the game by the parent, "Are you sure you really want to go out and be a bounty hunter? We'd really appreciate it if you just stuck around and helped out as a mechanic in the family, you know, garage." And you can absolutely say, "Nah, sure, I'll be a mechanic. Credits roll, you win."
I really, really wish there were more games where you could just say, "No, I do not want to play the game. I'm done. Thank you."
Well, I really like how this game does it, too, because it does go through. It's like, wow, think of all the neat stuff you missed. And then it's like gives you a rogues gallery, but it doesn't actually show you anybody because you hadn't met them. So it's like, wanted dead or alive, this guy. Wanted dead or alive, that other guy.
It's also worth noting that you can return home at any point and similarly just say, all right, I'm done being a bounty hunter and get credits and win.
Yeah.
So it is a game that lasts as long as you want it to last.
Which leads in to the fact that it really, really is a game that lasts how long you want. For a JRPG, this game is super de-duper open-ended.
Mm-hmm.
Literally,
that's the way these games usually run, yeah.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you. I don't know how much of the Metal Max you know, Word.
I have played Metal Max Returns to Completion.
Okay.
And I've played a good chunk of this game, but that was a ways back, and I don't really have the reasonable means to be playing it anymore.
Well, I liked this game back in the day. Well, sort of. The open-ending thing back when I was 14 felt really weird and kind of aimless. But now that I'm older, it's like, oh, man, I can just do the JRPG that isn't stupid anime story for 80 hours. Which, I mean, this game is stupid in a lot of regards, because you get a dog with heavy artillery on the back, to quote
the game. Not even on the back. Like, they're cybernetic. Like, they have, like, missile replenishment parts in their bodies.
Yeah, but you talked right over the part where I said, to quote the game. But,
so, I believe the big thing about the Metal Max games is they're very open world, non-linear compared to other JRPGs. Is that right?
Yeah,
basically the way the games will operate in general is the only thing gating you is, are you capable of not dying being here?
Yeah.
Like, there's a big checkpoint in Metal Max Returns, which is a remake of the original, I should point out, where there's just, like, this gigantic gun emplacement, and, you know, if you want to get out of the kind of, like, newbie area, you have to destroy it. And that's the only thing keeping you from proceeding. But, you know, otherwise, you know, you can go around that introductory area without any kind of limitation. Basically, you know, as long as there's not, like, things that completely and utterly destroy you, or a dungeon that has a, you know, something that you need to do to unlock a successive area, there's not really any limitations on where you can go and what you can do. You can go at any point, at any time, as long as you, you know, have the survivability to actually pull it off.
Yeah. One of the neat things, like, for example, how Metal Saga, the game, does it, is the game tells you, if you don't have a tank, you'll die. And boy, happy, yep. You will die.
Yep.
You step right out, it's like, alright, go head out to the wild, but without a tank, you're gonna die. And
wait, you just, like, instantly die?
No. But
no,
you're
gonna get thoroughly destroyed.
You run into it, like, because the first boss...
Like, think of
game,
crossing a bridge in Dragon Quest without leveling.
Yeah, well, yeah, pretty much. The first boss of the game says you have to go... You, like, the game tells you you need a tank to fight this thing. And typically every other JRPG, you'll just run into the tank on the way to the boss. I, on the other hand, kind of ran into him because I misunderstood what a NPC was telling me, so I completely went the wrong way, found the boss. I'm like, well, let's see how true... Then he destroyed me. Just two hits. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, this game ain't playing around. Yeah, I see. And then you get in there, and it's totally a fair fight.
Yeah, when I say there's an emphasis on, you know, the party using tanks, no, really, we mean it.
Because tanks get separate hit points and separate armor and yeah, that's
weapon
thing
configurations and etc.
There's a lot of neat tank building in this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you ever want to play Pimp My Tank? This is your series.
I think that's one of my favorite SSI games, Pimp My Tank.
So how does the open world element work in this?
So what happens is, throughout the game, like you said, you're a bounty hunter, and all over every town in the game, you have bounty hunter offices. I think you're just called a hunter, and they're called hunter offices.
Yeah, they're just called hunters.
Yeah, and essentially what the game does is it gives you a main outlaw target and, like, some random enemy to fight to just make money. And that's sort of the idea, is it's like, oh, go hunt down this outlaw.
Okay, hang on. Step it back. The way that you're going to broadly be encountering stuff in this game, in these games, are... When you get to a new town, it's kind of the Dragon Quest thing of they've got kind of their little isolated story thing going on, and there will also be a bounty target nearby, and you can get involved with, you know, the local concerns. You can go off and hunt the bounty. You can skip everything and go on to the next area if you're so inclined.
Well, yeah.
But, and an interesting thing about this one is, like, traditionally in these games, like, some of the later games might have deviated from it, you always have the hunter. And the hunter is kind of your balanced character option. You're going to have a mechanic who is, you know, the healer, and you're going to have a soldier who is, you know, the straight-up fighter. This game gives you options between those. Each, other than the hunter, you can have a lady or a dude operating the mechanic or soldier roles, and they are entirely different characters. And depending on what characters you bring to what events and scenarios can drastically change how those scenarios play out. Like, for example, there is this one, like, complete and utter psycho who's off killing people in this one town. And when you go and punch his ticket, you know, if you don't have the correct party member with you, you know, while you're just going over his carcass, you know, you find an old photo, and it's like, okay, I don't recognize this anyone. This ain't important. You just kind of throw it away. But if you have the correct party member in the team, they actually understand the photo, and this person means a lot more, and more scene comes out of it. So there's actually a good amount of replayability depending on, you know, oh, did I see everything that there is to see? You know, the game encourages you to use the various different characters in the overlapping roles, because you can't have both the mechanics with you, and you can't have both the soldiers with you at the same time.
Yeah, there's that. Where was I?
I don't know, off in the post-apocalyptic desert?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, this game's aesthetic is pretty cool. We could talk about that for a little bit.
Sounds like it does a lot of things that just JRPGs just don't do for whatever reason.
Yeah, but everyone looks like...
So, the...
Modern.
So, like, kind of a funny thing, in the older games, at least, in Returns, like, the game is called post-apocalyptic, but you walk outside of, like, the first town, there's a bunch of trees, there's water, things look fine, and you're just kind of like, okay, if this is a post-apocalyptic world that's on the mend, like, the bad part is over,
yeah,
and, like, we're rebuilding, and, you know, things are kind of gonna be all right. Now, I can't really say too much about Metal Saga itself because, you know, like, I never finished it, but I do think I recall seeing, you know, some stuff like that. Does that sound about right to you, Clay?
Yeah, I did read, because this game isn't overly forthcoming with its overarching plot, as I recall, but...
There's environmentalism as a message in this
well,
series.
Yes, yeah. But yeah, compared to, say, the other grand post-apocalyptic RPG Wild Arms, this is very much like a world sort of like, ah, the worst part is over. Let's just kind of not die. Because the metagame of this game kind of boils down to money. Like, everything costs money. And that was always sort of the weird thing, especially when I was younger playing this, like, the first time. Like, when you play JRPGs, like, you kind of have this weird inclination of, oh, I'm going to spend as little money as possible to make sure I always have the money for when the really good, best stuff comes up in a minute. And then you don't do well because you constantly need to spend money to repair stuff, and skills in this game actually cost money.
Yeah, it should be noted that as far as, like, I mentioned that, you know, this is Pimp My Tank, this is also Maintain My Tank. When your tank takes damage, you don't just go to a garage and say, oh, this is, you know, the tank in. Do you want to spend, you know, $150 to completely restore everything? No, you have to pay per armor plate.
Yeah.
The more armor your tank has, the more expensive it is to replace all of its armor, which is its health.
Yeah, it's a really in-depth, granular game the more and more you dig into it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really quite cool. And, it's really hard to talk about until you really, really get into that.
I will say that this was the first game of the series that we actually got over here in the West. And unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of things that if you haven't played preceding titles, you're not quite going to appreciate. For example, like, the first ability you get as the hunter, like, this is, like, the first skill you get. Like, you just have, like, a computer that tells a sat cannon to shoot the hell out of your enemy, and it costs money to, you know, do that. You know, that's the thing that was set up by the events of the first game. Like, that's the only reason that the sat cannon works in the first place. So that's you're not going
adorable.
To... Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, like, there's actually, like, a lot of continuity nods and whatnot. Unfortunately, I'm hearing that Zeno, the most recent entry in the series, which we also got, is not particularly good on the narratives front of things. Gameplay-wise, it's apparently okay, and everything else is not.
It sounds like this might be the best one of all, from what I'm hearing.
Yeah,
well, if you don't speak Japanese...
Well, Gideon Z of Aeon Genesis did release a translation patch for Metal Max Returns, and that's how I played the thing in the first place.
Well, that's neat.
So, you know,
that's
that would
the
be...
Super Nintendo one, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be my suggested starting point, because, like, if you come to Metal Saga from MMR, then you kind of know what you're getting into, and it's like, okay, this is a logical step forward. There's, you know, there's more scope, there's more options... You know, there's just a little bit more to it without making you feel overwhelmed. If you just jump straight into Metal Saga, that can be a little overwhelming.
Yeah, because Metal Saga doesn't explain itself terribly well. And, I mean, I'm sure regular listeners are aware that I have always been a big fan of JRPGs. This game came out, like, 05, 06, and I think I picked it up right about then, too. And man, I could not make heads or tails of this originally. It is a weird... Like I was kind of saying, everything it does feels almost antithetical to regular JRPGs, at least what we've always kind of gotten in America, even compared to its rather accidental name similarity, Saga.
Yeah, that's actually kind of a funny thing. Like, if you're familiar with the Saga series and how those work out, you'll actually probably be pretty okay and familiar just jumping into this, because it's sort of the same deal of you're not really forced to go anywhere until you're, you know, inclined to do so.
Yeah.
You can just go wherever, you know, you have the means of getting there.
So I kind of brought that up, too, because I wanted to mention it, because this has bothered me for years. A lot of, I recall, I haven't looked at reviews in this in a long time, but reviews brought up that a lot, too, and they're like, is this related? And everyone was like, shrugging. Turns out that they just actually lost the name to Metal Max for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to call it Metal Saga, and then somewhere along the line, I guess that got fixed for Zeno, so.
Good news. Can you speak something real quick?
Yeah.
I really love the magazine ad for this game, because it's just a... actual Shiba Inu, bazooka tied to its back, and that's great.
Yeah, Clade glossed over the fact that you get, you know, like, an artillery dog. There are four dogs to choose from.
Yeah, I was gonna kind of come
and
back
they all do different things.
Yeah, a lot of this time, this game kind of reminds me of Paladin's Quest, because of your weird party members like that, too.
Man, don't insult this game like that.
Hey, I like Paladin's Quest. Get out of here.
Why?
Paladin's Quest is cool.
No?
Looks awesome.
Paladin's Quest is a game where you crawl through a dragon's anus. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I can name a couple of games like that, too.
I'm not gonna ask.
And I say
that,
I mean that literally.
Yeah.
I'm not talking figuratively.
I mean, don't you do something like that in Earthbound 2 with a dinosaur?
No.
You must be thinking of, like, every platformer ever that makes you go through a stomach level.
Yeah, see, there you go. Platform.
The difference is those tend to start you at the mouth, not the other end. You leave the mouth.
Well, yeah, see, it's much cleaner that way around.
We're not even talking about that shitty game. Back to this one, please.
Do we have anything else we really need to say on this one?
I will say that a lot of, like, the musical cues and whatnot are very reminiscent. The most iconic theme of the series is the music that you hear when you're actually engaged with a bounty target. And it's like, if you know that track, you know it anywhere, and, you know, it's right here where you would expect it to be. It's got really good music going for it. And, you know, if you're familiar with the series, then you're in familiar territory there.
Yeah, this game is really kind of a weird glimpse of something we've just missed entirely. Because there's a few for certain, but there's not a whole lot of, like, big series we just never got in America for JRPGs. In Metal Max, we just kind of glimpsed once, like, it passed us by. And it's so strange. I think about it more when I play this game sometimes. Like, I look at it on my shelf and I'm like, huh, man, that's so weird.
Yeah, the one that I always wanted to play a lot was Metal Max 3, which I think was either on the DS or the 3DS, one of those. I think it was the DS. Yeah, I think it was the regular DS, and I was just like, I looked at that and it's like, it has a surprisingly large character roster, and I'm like, ooh. I liked what they did with the characters that they had in, you know, the games I've played. I would really like to play this, and it never happened, and I was sad.
Yeah. I mean, because one of the characters is
the soldier from the first game, and she's awesome.
Not even missing most of the Saga games, and I think about that far too often. But, like, Metal Max is cool, too, just because, like, we even have, amongst our big circle of people, we even have a Metal Max fan somewhere, or two. Not counting Word, I guess. But, it's a really, if you like really in-depth RPG stuff, play Metal Saga.
Yeah, it's like, if you're in the mood for, you know, an RPG that is not going to just say, hey, you made it here, allow us to provide you with a simplistic conveyance to the next narrative point, and you want something, you know, either more crunchy, or you just like the idea of rolling around within a squad of tanks and blowing the shit out of things, then you could do a lot worse.
Yeah. Do we have to rank it? It's weird.
Do we have to do that thing we do on this show? I don't feel like it. I'm going to go have ice cream.
I'm just going to set it in a little bubble and say, play Metal Saga.
We rank it at zero.
Yeah.
We put it right next to Crazy Bus. It's not really a game.
Oh, Sandy, I don't see any way that could ever come back to bite us.
Oh, so you don't think for it's really worth playing for all the unique things it does? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. Like, the unique, you come for the crunch, you stay for the unique stuff.
Yeah, like, if you go into this expecting, you know, like, Final Fantasy or Dragon Quest or something.
Or you come into this expecting, like, Earthbound wackiness, I don't think.
Yeah, it's not quite there.
Like, yeah.
It's definitely its own beast, but unless that beast is what you're after in the first place, then you're probably not really going to latch onto it too well, unless the way the game runs is to your particular tastes.
Yeah, like, I'm not kidding. Like, you want to come into this game wanting to do a lot of crunchy stuff, because this game will bounce you off hard otherwise.
Yeah, I mentioned that, like, you get, like, that sap cannon ability, basically, like, as soon as the game starts, and it costs money to use it. Like, it costs, like, at that point of the game, it costs basically all of your money to use it once, and you have to go through a lot of fights to get enough money to use it again. And its cost goes up as you level.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh, this game
there is
too much.
There is definitely a resource management to this. Like, it's,
yeah.
It's like you have to track your money, you have to track your tank shells, you have to track your tank utilities, you have to track, like, your actual party's stuff, because some places the tanks can't actually go. You do go inside buildings sometimes. And, you know, you have to take care of, like, all the equipment of your party. You gotta take care of, you know, party items and consumables, tank shells, tank ammo. You know, what parts are you using on who and what weapons, and, oh, hey, on, like, you know, some tanks have certain features that others don't. There's a lot. And if you're the type that's easily overwhelmed by a lot of options with, you know, pretty firm restrictions about what you can do because, you know, you can't do it all at once, then you're going to bounce, period.
Yeah, I mean, even once in a while I go and look at this game and go, nah, that's too much, I'm going to play something different.
I will say there is a neat thing about the loading screen. When you're on foot, you see, like, little, like, footprints just kind of, like, walking across the blackness of the screen.
Ah,
if you have a tank,
you get
tank treads along with the footprints.
God bless, I'm glad you remembered that.
It's been a long time, but I remember the good stuff.
Yeah, I sat there and thought, I was like, man, there is so much to this game, I don't know what to talk about. It's, like, I could talk about armor plating, and I could talk about equipment, and I could talk about, and the game is weird, and it's, like, it's got weird items, and you're like, what do these items do? This is a weird game, and, like, I think Word put it best, is you better be in the mood to wanna micromanage.
Yeah, so, as far as where we put this, I'm just going to say, I'm going to be charitable. Like, I would put it, you know, really high myself, but I know that You know, most people aren't me, and they don't come to a lot of games looking for the kind of things that I want. So I'm just going to say, let's put it right above UN Squadron, because that's our threshold for okay game with, you know, some problems. And, you know, the approachability is the problem with this game.
You know what?
It's a really good game.
I'm going to bump that up to above Baroque, because this game reminds me of Baroque in a lot of ways, but man, I like this game a lot more than Baroque.
That's fair.
I think all right, above, so Baroque
then? That's cool with both you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, 185.
All right. That will put Metal Saga at 185, right above Baroque and right below Tex Murphy, The Pandora Directive.
Welcome, everybody, to the easiest ranking we've ever had on this show.
Yeah, right? That went like 10 seconds. What the hell?
Well, it's easy, because we all knew exactly what we were talking about this entire time.
Man, I like this game. It's a weird game, and like, I like talking about it and thinking about it, but it's such a weird game. Like, this is a game that if you want me to talk about, you just have to, like, catch me sitting in a chair or something. It's like, so what do you think about Metal Saga? I'm like, well, let me pour you a drink.
Yeah, like, if you were going to go strictly by where I would put it, like, on my merits and my interests, I'd probably be throwing it in above 70. Like, that's where I would put it in my personal, you know, realm of interest. Yeah, I'd say I'd put it over Streets of Rage 2 and under Alien Soldier. That's where
I'd put it. That's pretty high, I gotta say.
That's nonsense.
I like these games.
It's a cool game. I like Cooter. Yeah, exactly.
But I fully recognize that it's not for everyone, which is why I docked it 100 ranks.
Yes, no, that's it's definitely exactly where it belongs. I've never felt so strongly, like, so positively about a ranking before.
That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our booking agent Jeff Rood, our theme song MC Norm, check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101. I know, I did. By subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GC9X and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HG Discord, but most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.